11 by Tom Rogers. Chapter 1. A-Dog. Monday, 5:39 p.m. All his life, A-Dog had wanted to be a hero. Now his time had come. 5 seconds ago, A-Dog had been seated squarely in the cockpit of his F-16, guiding it with ease as it knifed through the air. Then everything changed. The enemy plane came out of nowhere. A-Dog reacted on pure instinct. The missile clipped his wing as he pulled up hard on the yoke and rolled into an inverted dive that flipped the horizon over, putting the buildings above the sky below and turning his whole world upside down. The daredevil maneuver worked. When he straightened out, he'd lost his pursuer. He was trailing smoke and leaking fuel. He checked his gauges. If he tucked his tail and ran away, he'd have just enough juice to make it back to base. Or he could make the ultimate sacrifice and do what had to be done. He glanced at a photo of his dog, tucked into the instrument panel. The dog gazed back, loyal, proud, and brave. Maybe it was his mind playing tricks, the G-forces sloshing his brain around, but A-Dog was sure he saw his dog nod. A-Dog knew what he had to do. He banked sharply and swung back into the fight. He was face to face with the enemy plane across a 3-mile gap, on a collision course and closing fast. He brought the crosshairs into focus on his target. A tone sounded, radar lock. Then a voice crackled in his headset. "Okay, hotshot, time's up, bring it in." "Not yet, I have a job to do. You know the rules." A-Dog knew the rules, but today the rules went out the window. His glove tightened on the stick. His thumb brushed the red firing button. The other plane fired first. "Fire!" A-Dog stabbed his thumb down. His airplane shook as a missile leapt off the wing, ridding a trail of flame. A-Dog banked away, straining to see behind him. Did he get the job done? Was he about to be a hero? He twisted in the cockpit, desperate to see what happened, and then everything went black. Chapter 2. The Home Front. Monday, 5:40 p.m. Alex Douglas frowned at the darkened computer. He toggled the joystick, stabbed at the keyboard, hit the red firing button. Nothing. Dead. Then he saw her in the reflection on the screen, like a white-robed ghost, arms folded. "Mom!" he groaned, gritting his teeth. Alex's mother loomed over him in her white nurse's uniform. She had just come off a 12-hour shift at Mercy Hospital in Jersey City and was in no mood for guff. She narrowed her eyes and pointed at him with the flopping end of the computer plug she just yanked out of the wall, totally crashing his Screaming Eagles 4 flight sim game in the middle of what would ever been his most heroic victory ever. He was about to save the world, but he hadn't even had time to hit save. "God, Mom, how can you be so stupid?" He really didn't say that out loud, but he thought it so loudly he was afraid she might hear it echoing in his brain. If he had said it out loud, he probably wouldn't have lived to see his 11th birthday. Only 7 hours and 51 minutes away, he calculated. Alex had discovered over the years that he wasn't so great at hiding his thoughts from his parents. Lately, he'd been practicing in front of the mirror, thinking of stuff that made him mad while trying to keep his feelings from showing on his face. He was pretty sure he was getting better at it. "Don't give me that look," said his mom. "I know what you're thinking." "Guess there's still room for improvement," he thought. "What are the rules?" she asked. Alex spotted movement out of the corner of his eye. "Rule number one. Nunu has to stay on her side of the flight line." Alex pointed at his 6-year-old sister, who was about to cross a black and yellow stripe that Alex had taped on the floor, dividing the room into two. Nunu, her real name was Nola Beth, but everyone called her Nunu, sighed and flopped back onto her bed. Everything on her side of the room was pink. Pink bed, pink princess sheet, pink dolls, piled up on pink pillows. Even the walls on her side were painted the color of shiny chewed bubble gum. Alex had one word for it. Gross. The other side of the room, Alex's side, was made of awesome. He had turned it into a shrine to the two things he loved, airplanes and dogs. 4 airplane models dangled from the ceiling on strings. A huge Boeing 747, a World War II era P-51 Mustang, its nose painted to look like a shark's mouth, a Sopwith Camel biplane, and an F-16 Fighting Falcon, exactly like the one he was flying before his mother pulled the plug on his computer. He even stenciled his own call design, A-Dog, onto the nose of the Firejet. Posters of airplanes covered the walls. Over his bed, tacked to the ceiling, was a huge fold-out of a 747 cockpit. Staring up at it night after night before bed, he memorized the location and function of every single dial and switch. On his dresser sat a framed photograph of the Navy Blue Angels Elite Flying Squadron in close formation. signed by every pilot on the team. He had got that for his birthday 2 years ago when his dad took him to an air show in upstate New York. They had gotten up super early, way before dawn, and even though he was dog-tired because he hardly slept the night before, he was wide awake by the time they pulled onto the airbase and parked in the field near the viewing stand. It was so early, the bleachers were still wet with dew. Not that it mattered, because he never once sat down. He remembered every detail and maneuver like it happened yesterday. Even his dad seemed impressed. Alex's dad drove a commuter train for a living, which meant he was in charge of steering 500,000 pounds of steel and aluminum through a tunnel underneath the Hudson River at 70 miles per hour, so it took a lot to impress him. In the air show finale, the Angels flew low and fast right over the crowd, four fighter jets in a tight diamond pattern so close overhead that Alex felt like he could reach out and touch their wings. He could still remember how the roar of the engines made his insides rumble. Right after the Angels flew past, Alex's dad reached down and squeezed his shoulder. Alex looked up, his fingers still in his ears to the roar of the jets. His dad grinned at him and mouthed one word, "Wow." He had always thought of that day as his greatest birthday ever, until this one. This one was going to leave that year's in the... Alex answered the question. Alex froze. He'd totally forgotten what they were talking about. "I asked you about the rules," she reminded him. "You didn't say which rules." "Careful, young man." Ugh. He hated when she called him young man. The fact that it had the word man in it didn't really help, because the only word that mattered was young. Man was like those silent letters they just learned about in English class, like the S in island or the G in phlegm. He thought of it as a new part of speech, the silent man. His mom and dad were always telling him he needed to grow up. It was one of the things he definitely agreed with them about, because if growing up meant getting better at hiding your feelings so you don't get in trouble, then he was all for it. He wondered if he'd been better at it once he turned 11. All he knew for sure was that growing up meant he could get a dog, and that's why it was going to be his official new greatest birthday ever. He'd been asking for a dog since forever. Last year, his parents said they'd think about getting him a dog when he was old enough to take care of one. That was all the encouragement he needed. 6 months ago, he started his campaign, dropping hits, a steady stream of little reminders that built and built into Tidal Wave, post-its with the number of days to his birthday would mysteriously appear on his parents' bathroom mirror. Pictures of dogs would turn up inside their favorite magazines or stuck to the refrigerator door. At 2 months out, he turned it up another notch, beginning almost every sentence with, "When I get a dog," "If you get a dog," his parents would correct him, but he was relentless, and before long they stopped saying "if," and would just trade exasperated looks. That's how he knew it was finally happening. He'd worn them down. He was definitely getting a dog for his birthday, which explained the other half of Alex's room. The other half of Alex's half of the room was plastered with pictures of dogs. Everywhere there was an airplane, there was a dog. To Alex, airplanes and dogs went together, like peanut butter and bologna, which happened to be his favorite sandwich. When he wasn't playing flight sim or memorizing cockpit dials or throwing dirty socks at Nunu to keep her on her side of the flight line, he'd stare at all the pictures and daydream about how it'd be cool if he could fly a plane. Alex Douglas, pay attention! First and last name. He was in the danger zone now. What are the rules? And this time I expect a straight answer. Alex sighed. No games until my homework is done. And my chores. And are they done? Define done. Dead silence. Alex withered slightly. Then he rebounded. He could usually get out of a tough spot by making his mother laugh. How do you know that time travel isn't possible, and I didn't just time warp 2 hours into the past to do my chores, and then time warp right back into my chair? Call it maternal instinct. But he thought he saw her crack a tiny smile. Across the room, Nunu giggled. Despite the dirty socks, she always laughed at her brother's dumb jokes. If it weren't for Nunu's lolly doll, Alex might have been willing to overlook her other flaws, like her pink sheets or her very existence on this planet, especially the part of the planet that included the other half of his bedroom. But she never went anywhere without Lolly, and by the time you counted the bus ride to school every day, the bus ride home, and anywhere they went with their parents, Alex felt like he never went anywhere without Nunu, which meant that he never went anywhere without Lolly, and her missing eye and that one ear Nunu had chewed on until it was practically gone, worn down to a hard, spit-dark, threadbare nub. Lolly had ruined his life. It happened the first week of school. Nunu was halfway onto the bus when she whirled around and pointed. She left Lolly on the bench. Alex sighed, was sprinted back off the bus and snatched up the soggy-eared doll, just as Jordan McCreevy soldered up. Jordan the Jerk. That's what Alex and his friends had called him behind his back. If they ever called him that to his face, they probably wouldn't have faces anymore. Jordan snatched the pink doll out of Alex's hand. Alex made a half-hearted attempt to take it back, but Jordan held it up way high, out of reach. As he stared down at Alex, the left side of his mouth began to curl. Alex flinched as Jordan laughed in his face. His breath stank like armpit and Cheetos. Then Jordan slapped the doll onto Alex's head like a dunce cap. "Here's your baby, baby." And that's when Alex knew that Jordan McCreevy was going to make his life a living hell. "Alex," his mom again. "What? I'm listening." "Really? Okay, I'll make you a deal. Answer one easy question for me, and you can have 10 more minutes on the computer. Fair?" Alex's eyebrows shot up. He liked where this was going. He was constantly trying to make deals with his parents to get out of doing stuff right away. "Please, just 5 more minutes, and then I promise I'll do the dishes." He'd beg, and then they'd forget the time limit. 5 minutes would become 20, and then half the time the dishes would get done while he was away. But this was a new twist. Now his mom was offering him a sweet deal. "Sweet. Fire away," he said with confidence. "Here's the question. What were we just talking about?" Alex opened his mouth and shut it. Uh-oh. He frowned and saw where he messed up. He was a daydreamer, and she knew it. His mind had a tendency to wander. Like this one time last week in Miss Foster's room when they were supposed to be doing class participation, but then he saw his dog run by the window. "That's what I thought." His mom shook her head and started off to the kitchen. "Now leave that computer off, take out your books, and do your homework." She was halfway across the living room when Alex bolted into the hall. "Homework?" he shouted triumphantly. His mom laughed, but she wasn't buying it. "Please, Mom, 10 more minutes." "No." "5, and I'll do the dishes?" "No more deal making." "But it's my birthday tomorrow," he wheeled. "I know. That's why you have to get your homework done today." Alex tried a different tact. "You know what, Mom? You're absolutely right. This is so smart. I really should get ahead of my homework." His mom cocked an eyebrow, wondering where this was going. "That way, I'll have more time to play with the dog you're getting me for my birthday." "Alex, you promised. You promised I could get a dog for my birthday." "I know, sweetie. If you got serious about your schoolwork, and if your grades improved, but you got a C on your last math test." "Yeah, but look on the bright side. At least you know I didn't cheat." He grinned, hoping he could get a smile of her. She shook her head. "We talked about this. A dog is a big responsibility, and you have to show us you can handle that kind of responsibility." "Responsibility? Are you kidding me? I can land an F/A-18 Hornet on an aircraft carrier in a rolling sea. If you can't trust me with a $30 million airplane, I think you can trust me with a dog." His mom didn't laugh. "Mom, you promise. What do I have to do?" "Your homework." Then she turned and headed into the kitchen. Alex stared after her, a sick feeling growing on his stomach. Maybe he wasn't getting a dog after all. When his mom called him to dinner, Alex headed downstairs. He'd finished his homework, which was pretty easy. Some long division and fractions and a chapter on the American Revolution with only 4 study questions. But even though nothing put him in a good mood faster than easy homework, he couldn't shake the feeling that his plans for the greatest birthday ever were falling apart like a bad game of Jenga. He drifted into the living room, scuffed his feet along the carpet, headed for the worn bare lounger next to the gray sofa in front of the TV. As usual, he took the shortcut, stepping from arm to arm on the lounge chair and then vaulting over the back of the sofa. As he landed, he froze. He turned back, staring at the worn lounge chair, his dad's chair. Then it came to him, the way to get around his mom, talk to dad. Nunu and their mother were already sitting when Alex came in. He grabbed the back of his chair and dragged it out from under the table, like he had been told 1,000 times not to, but never remembered. The legs made a loud honking noise as they scraped across the linoleum. His mother shot him a look. Uh-oh, he thought. Don't jinx it. He stopped with the chair halfway out and then tried to squeeze noisily into his seat. The table shook. Milk splashed out of Nunu's glass. Rats. Sorry, he mumbled. His mom dabbed up the spill. Drink your milk, honey, she said to Nunu. Dinner was hot dogs, macaroni and cheese, and carrots. His mom made his favorite meal, except for the carrots. This was a good sign. Where's daddy, Nunu asked. They gave him an extra run, so he'll come home a little late. Another good sign. It gave him more time to plan his charm offensive. Alex could feel his mom watching him. He was still sort of mad at her and didn't want to look her in the eye, but he knew he better straighten up and fly right if he had any chance of saving the greatest birthday ever. He took a huge bite out of the hot dog and turned to his mom with a big smile. Don't talk with your mouth full, she said, but then she smiled. Alex felt the tide turning in his favor. An hour later, Alex, sitting up in bed, English book propped in his lap, and a brand new plan taking shape in his brain. Plan A was to talk to his dad, but Alex figured he You can never be too safe. So when he came back up to his room, he made a backup deal with the universe. If I stop thinking about dogs and do my homework, then I'll be rewarded with a dog. Alex was always making deals with the universe. In the morning, if I actually brush my teeth instead of just waving the brush around like a lightsaber, then Mom will have pancakes on the table. In fifth period, if I don't look at the clock for 5 minutes, class will end early. Once in a while, it worked. If I sit perfectly still, Jordan won't see me. And that was all Alex needed to make him believe. But even with Plan A in place and Plan B as a backup, he couldn't shake the feeling that this wasn't going to end well. Deep down, he knew what was really bugging him and why he was in such an up-and-down mood. His mother was right. It was his own fault he wasn't getting a dog. They'd made a straightforward deal, just like the ones he made with the universe. Improve your grades, and you can have a dog. But he had dropped the ball, and now he had nobody to blame but himself, which made it even worse. Like when you stub your toe, and you want to scream and yell at someone, but you can't, because that someone is you. So here he was, on the eve of his birthday, trying not to think about dogs. He'd been staring at the same page for 5 minutes before he realized that the words were just a blur, and that his mind had wandered back to dogs. He shook his head and tried to focus. But the harder he tried, the more he thought about dogs. It was impossible not to think of dogs, and it was driving him crazy. "Daddy!" Nunu's happy voice penetrated the thin walls. "Come here, monkey!" boomed his father. Alex sat up straight with his English book and focused a studious look on his face. They'd see he had changed. They'd see he deserved a dog after all. They'd see right through him in a second. Who was he kidding? It was a little too late. His mood came crashing down again as he shoved the book aside, turned off the light, and rolled over to face the wall, feeling sorry for himself. Maybe they feel sorry for him, too. Lying in darkness, his back to the room, he pricked up his ears as the door opened with a click. A sliver of light spilled in from the hallway. "Shh, looks like he's asleep," his father's voice. "No, he's not. He's faking it," said Nunu, riding on their father's shoulders. Alex clamped his eyes shut. He didn't need to see to know what was going on. It was the same routine every night. The pink sheets rustled as father lowered Nunu into her bed. Seeing, "No, dear daddy." Alex groaned and rolled over, pulling a pillow over his head. "I hate that stupid song," came his muffled voice. "He sure is a grumpy Gus," said their father. "Grumpy Alex," Nunu replied. Their father stroked Nunu's hair and began to sing. Alex tried to drown them out, but either the pillow wasn't thick enough or he knew the routine too well. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never..." "No, dear." He knew it was coming, but Alex still winced as Nunu sang out her favorite line, just like she did every single solitary stupid night. As usual, she messed up the words. Most of the time, he didn't notice it anymore. But now it bugged him. Why does she get to mess up every night, and I don't? Even as he thought it, he knew it wasn't the same thing. But it was the best he could do on short notice. "How much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." Nunu snuggled down into her comforter. Alex heard her breathing slow as their dad stroked her hair, and she gradually drifted off to sleep. The bed creaked as his dad sat down beside him. For a long time, his father said nothing. Peering through the crack under his pillow, Alex could see bits and pieces of his father. The heel of his left shoe worn down so far it curved underneath. The light from the hallway reflecting off a shiny spot on his pant knee, where the crease in the fabric just seemed to disappear. Two loose threads standing straight up off the cuff of his stark white shirt. Alex felt his father's hand land gently on his shoulder. "Tower to A-Dog. Come in, A-Dog." A-Dog maintained radio silence. "Mom told me you two went round and round. Everything okay at school?" "Who cares about school?" Under the pillow, Alex rolled his eyes. "School is important." "It's not school. School's fine." "Is this about the dog?" Alex felt a flicker of hope. His dad knew how much this meant to him. He held his breath and waited, afraid to say anything that might wreck his chances. His dad gently tugged the pillow down. "Why do you want a dog so badly?" 1,000 answers popped into Alex's head. He shrugged. "You had a dog when you were growing up," his dad smiled. "Good," thought Alex. "Yeah, Rufus. What kind was he?" More like, what kind wasn't he? Not much to look at. But he was a great dog, I bet. He used to sit in front of the window every day with a stick in his mouth and wait for me to come home from school to play fetch. Wow, they smiled together. How old were you when you got him?" Alex asked. His dad looked him in the eye. "Old enough to take care of him." Alex collapsed inside. "I can take care of a dog." Your dog has to be able to count on you. I know. Taking care of a dog is a big responsibility. Alex felt a surge of panic. It was all slipping away. I am responsible. I'm going to be 11, way until double digits. It's not just about the age, Alex. It's about acting more like more grown up. Alex shot straight up. I am acting like a grown up. Then he flopped down and yanked the pillow back over his head. His dad tried to pat him on the shoulder, but Alex jerked away and rolled over to face the wall. His dad exhaled heavily, then rubbed his eyes and stood. If you loved me, you'd get me a dog, said Alex. His father paused at the door, his hand resting on the handle. I do love you, Alex. His dad waited. The silence seemed to stretch on endlessly. I hate you, came the quiet reply from the bed. Then Alex heard the door click shut.